At this time, I'd encourage all of you to turn with me in your own Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. As this morning, we'll look together at verses 18 through 25. As we come to this text, we need to understand that contextually, Jesus provides this teaching to his disciples. Well, he is just about an hour, maybe at most a couple of hours, prior to the time when he will be arrested by a cohort of Roman soldiers who are acting upon the hatred of the Jewish leadership. You see, the Jewish leadership, the religious and the civil leaders within the Jewish culture hated the teachings of Jesus. They hated the actions that Jesus was performing, and they hated Jesus himself, so much so that they sought his arrest and his execution. Being aware that Jesus is in the process of preparing his disciples for his leaving, preparing them in these chapters, 14 through 16, for the fact that as believers, we need to abide in Christ. We need to find our identity in Him and in Him alone. We need to find our source of life in Christ and in Him alone, that He needs to be, in fact, our all in all. But Jesus wants to be honest with His disciples. He wants them to understand that if we truly are Christians who abide in Christ, that if we truly are faithful to Him, faithful to His Word, that there will be consequences. And sometimes those consequences aren't so happy. Sometimes they're quite negative. Everything in the Christian life, if we're being faithful, isn't going to be comfortable and cozy. For as the world hated Jesus to the point of this, so it will hate those who are his disciples. Whether those disciples be in the first century, whether they be in the 21st century, or any other that goes between or after. The truth is that the world's response to the gospel, to its Savior, to the disciple of Christ, will often be the same, that of hatred. And it's to this preparation that we'll focus our attention upon briefly this morning as we look together to God's Word. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to your Word, Lord God, I pray that by your Spirit you would give us ears to hear, that you would strengthen us by your Spirit, that you would prepare us for the tasks that you have set before us. But Father, we come now to your Word, seeking your leading and your guiding. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look then together at the very words of our Lord and Savior as we read together from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'll begin in verse 18 and read through verse 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Hate is one of those things that our world considers to be anathema. We have laws. Laws against hate speech. Laws against hate crimes. We live in a world which espouses tolerance as the greatest greatest virtue which an evolved being can demonstrate. You know, the world is often right when it looks at the church, when it looks at individual Christians, and it points out how hypocritical we can be. But I got to tell you, the world's no different. For a world that espouses tolerance, when one proclaims the name of Jesus Christ, one sees how quickly a tolerant world can be intolerant, how hateful they can be. Now, I need to kind of pause and insert a little something here. The Christian is nowhere in the Scriptures called to speak hatefully of another. We are never called to act out in hatred towards others. There's no place in the Christian faith, a faith that professes a Jesus who dined with sinners, a Jesus who drew to himself all of the outcasts, those who were hated, for us to be going about hating others. But when we look at the church, when we look at Christians, we often might see that such a hatred colors the things we do as we engage our culture, as we engage other sinners like ourselves. We see it when we engage, even now in the state of Maryland, in talking about political policy. How often do our actions and our words reflect hate instead of the saving message of the gospel? But I did something interesting as I was thinking through this text. I did a little Google search with the words hate and Christian. Do that sometime if you're ever interested in some interesting reading. Well, a lot of the articles pointed out different things that Christians hate, and different people that Christians hate, and I just said what I think about that. But by and away, the preponderance of the sites, the preponderance of articles that will come back to you are things that begin with lines like this: I hate all Christians. I actually read that article. There's many who will lash out at Christians with all types of vile speech that I won't repeat here, but should we be surprised at that? Should we be surprised when people in our world hate the church, hate Christians? We shouldn't be. If we are faithful to Christ, if we are faithful to His words, if we truly abide in Him, Jesus Himself tells us that the world will hate believers in the very same way that it hated Him. That's the truth that Jesus begins this very section of the text with. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Actually, what He says is, if the world hates you, keep in mind that the world has hated me. It's a perfect tense. It's a tense where it's a completed action. We see the hatred that Christ withstood, but it's an action that continues into the future. The world continues to hate Christ as it continues to hate those who follow Him, for those who bear His name. You see, the world hates everything that has to do with a holy and a righteous God, because such a God reveals the world's sinfulness. It reveals our own lack of righteousness. When one looks at the holiness of Christ, when one looks at the righteousness of the Lord our God, one is brought to one of two extremes. There's no in between. When we see Christ and His righteousness, we either cry out with Isaiah, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips," or we shake our fists and we hate God. There's no other choice. One either hates the righteousness of God, or one submits to it and falls to their knees in repentance. The simple truth, as our text shows us, is that our world literally hates our God. Now, the world's probably not going to be, most people aren't bold enough to step out and say, "I hate God." They'll say things, though, like, "I hate Christians. I hate what Christians say. I hate the things that Christians do. I hate what the Bible says. I don't like the Bible. I hate it. But such statements, aren't they thoroughly disingenuous? This is God's Word. It is God speaking to us. So to hate the Bible is to hate God. Earlier we sang that Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. To hate the Word of God is to hate Christ. Not very tolerant, is it? The world hates our God because, honestly, His Word condemns us. Jesus says that both in verses 20 and 22 of our text. In verse 20 says, if they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours. Well, you get the point. They don't obey either. And the reason why is because they hate it. They hate Jesus. They hate our God. The problem, Jesus says, is His teaching. It's His Word. It's the things that He shared. He says in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, don't understand that everybody who lived before Jesus wasn't a sinner. That's not what He's saying. But Jesus has revealed sin in a whole new way. He's taken that wonderful teaching on the law, and He said, you know what? Moses has said you're not supposed to commit adultery. But I tell you this, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You don't have to go ahead and commit murder. Most of us can say, hey, I've never done that. I'm all right. But Jesus says the moment you call another person a fool, you've committed murder in your heart. See, Jesus has taken sin to a whole new level. And the world hated Him for it. The world hates the central message of the gospel. That Jesus came to save sinners. Why? Because that means I have to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. How dare Jesus? How dare the Bible? How dare someone say some action, some thought, some word is sinful? That's a wonderful message. That Jesus came to save sinners. That's why, as one of the membership vows that we take as we become members of the church, is that we acknowledge ourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure. That we justly deserve God to pour out His wrath upon us. And then you take our American culture and you put it on top of it. It gets even worse. Not only do you have to admit that you're a sinner, but you have to admit there's nothing you can do about it. There is no work, no works that we can perform to make ourselves right before God. The only way that we can be saved is through God's grace and His work alone. The heart of the Word of God is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, trust in faith and in the grace of the Lord our God Himself. The world hates that the gospel, that the scriptures say we're all sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God, that everything isn't good and perfect with us, that we are sinful in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So they hate the God who says it. But more than that, the world not only hates our God because His Word condemns, but they hate our God because His actions condemn. Jesus says much the same thing in verse 24 of His actions as He had about His Word. If I had not done among them the things that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. Jesus' words, like His works, show forth our sin. The world hates Him because in doing the works of God, just like in saying the works of God, it reveals that there's a problem with us, that we are unrighteous, that we are, as James Boyce put it, spiritually bankrupt on our own. You know, before we had Christ's words, you know, maybe we might have been able to look, or Christ's works, maybe we would have been able to look all right. We are a people who love to compare. You ever do that? Why do they have that and I don't? Gee, I'm better than this other person. Why aren't things going okay for me? I compare myself, or others compare themselves to the person they sit next to in school, to the person they work next to the people that live next to them. And when we compare ourselves to others, maybe we start to think, hey, I'm all right. But that's not our standard. Our standards are the righteous and perfect actions of Christ. Christ says, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Oops, I don't stand up so well, do I? And when we look at the righteousness of Christ, and we look at his righteous actions, and we try and compare ourselves, and we realize that we don't compare in righteousness, the response of many is to hate those who act in righteousness. It's nothing new. Human beings 3 and 4. What happens? One brother offers a sacrifice in unrighteousness. It's not accepted. The other one offers a sacrifice in righteousness, and it's accepted. And Cain goes, oh, cool, look, yours was accepted and mine wasn't. No, that's not what he did. He responded in hatred for his brother and his righteousness, and he kills him. That same attitude is prevalent today. When we do what is right, when we act in faithfulness to the Word of God, when we act in a righteous way, it will produce a response, a negative response by those around us. Try being the only one at work who stands up for truth, who is faithful to the time clock, who is faithful to working their best while they're there. And what are the other people going to say? There are some who may not be too happy about it. Then you tell them you do it because that's what we have to do to be faithful to Christ, and you're over the limit there. Christ's actions show forth his righteousness and our own unrighteousness. And perhaps there's no action that shows that more so than what Christ was leaving his disciples to go and do. Christ was going to the cross. The unbelieving world hates the cross when it thinks about it, because the unbelieving world sees that at the cross, our sinfulness is so bad that that was the only way God could resolve it, to take his own son, to send him, that he might live righteously, yet die a criminal's death on a cross, what was once called by Phil Donahue the greatest act of cosmic child abuse. The world looks at the righteousness of Christ as he is lifted up on the cross, and they hate the cross for it because of what it says about us, that we are sinners, and our sin has that great of a consequence. The world hates our God because both his word and his actions condemn their sin. But the world's hatred doesn't end there. As Jesus teaches, as the world hates him, so it will hate his people. Specifically, the world hates the Lord's people because of the relationship that we have. If the world hates our God, then it hates those who live in a vital relationship with that God. The world hates us because it sees us, first of all, as traitors. Isn't that what Jesus says? Verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. It's a common New Testament theme. We read it earlier in the letter to Titus, but it's in other places as well, that we were once just like the rest of the world, doing the same things, valuing the same things, watching the same things, saying the same things. The scary thing is we often still look that way, don't we? But anyway, the world looks at us as being just like them, and they're fine with that. But then, when God makes us alive, brings us to himself, and we're different, that difference becomes an act of judgment upon them. Who are you to have a relationship with the Lord God? But there's something more in that verse 19 that the world hates about our relationship with the Lord God. Look at what Jesus says. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, okay? As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That statement, and I'm not going to spend much time dealing with it, but makes it very clear that our salvation is not based on us, but on the sovereign choice of the Lord our God. Arthur Pink put it this way: the reason Christ here gives as to why the world hates believers is because of their election. The world is enraged by the very idea of Christians being the singled out favorites of God. I've heard that so many times. How can a Christian say that they're the ones that belong to God? that they are the only ones, that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, that everyone else is outside of that, that no Hindu, no Buddhist, no Muslim, no whatever, however good their life might be, won't be with Christ, that don't have a relationship with God. The very idea that Christians are singled out by God as His own, by His own choice, is something that our world hates. Therefore, it hates us. It's sadly a truth that we have seen, that it's an idea hated even by many of God's people. But nonetheless, it is a truth of the Word of God. We are God's people, people who no longer belong to the world because He has chosen us. He has led us out of the world. And in so doing, God does something else which the world hates. The world hates believers because we bear our Savior's name. Jesus says in verse 21, "They will treat you this way because of my name, for because they did not know the one who sent me." It's because of the name of Jesus, the name that we share as Christians, as those who belong to Christ. You know, in Jesus' culture, the name wasn't just simply what you called someone. It was a statement as to who they were as a person. It said something about their character, about their nature. When we take on Jesus' name, we take on His character. We become united to Him. As we are united to Christ, we are set apart. That's what the word holy means. We are marked out as His. And the world hates that. It hates it. The funny thing is, the world hates it not because the world goes, "Boy, I wish I had that for myself." Because the world doesn't desire that relationship with God on its own. But it hates that we have claim to it. "I don't want it, but how dare you say you have it?" When we consider that, we in many ways are left with a logical question of why. Why would there be such hatred for God and His Word and for God's people? And the simple answer, as in all things, is the world's hatred is something that is God-ordained. God has ordained in His providence that the unbelieving world would hate Him, would hate His Son, and would hate us as believers. In fact, such hatred is a fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus says that in verse 25. "But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." And people argue because they're not really sure where that comes from. Some from Psalm 35, others Psalm 69. I think it came from there. Psalm 69 speaks in many ways to the Lord's passion. That's why we read it this morning. It speaks to the fact that the world hated Christ without reason. Here was a one who was righteous, yet hated. Jesus is hated without cause. No cause except to fulfill prophecy. You know, the Father sends His Son and the world hates Jesus and the Father goes, "Oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming." No. Jesus comes and bears our flesh and lives righteously and they lead Him to the cross and He says, I didn't expect that." No, He knew it exactly. Indeed, His entire purpose was driving to the cross. In the same way, it should be no surprise to us when we see the fulfillment of Jesus' words here. His disciples were, because of their association with Him, despised and rejected. They were hated, some killed even in the same manner as our Savior. We see the same today in our world. I thank God that we live in a country where we are free to gather on the Lord's Day and worship our Savior. We know from recent news that is not the case around the world. There are those literally killed for bearing the name of Christ. The Christian life is not a life that should be comfortable with the world. In fact, if the world is comfortable with us, maybe that's saying something about us. Maybe it says we aren't being faithful, that we aren't living out the Word of God. I don't mean that we should go out and look for people to hate us. But if we're being faithful, that's the natural response of a fallen world. We live in a world that, though it espouses tolerance, just listen to the world's music. It's a world filled with hate. Watch, you don't even have to watch TV. You just see the titles of some of the shows, and you see that we live in a world which hates the righteousness of God, would far prefer unrighteousness. We live in a world that hates a sovereign God who in grace saves some. The hate is as real as the righteousness that produces it. So the question is laid before us. Do others see? Not just hear. Oh yes, they need to hear it too. But do others see your abiding in Christ? Do others see your faithfulness? Do others see you're dying to yourself, you're dying to this world, you're dying to sin, you're living for righteousness, to, as our confession says, endeavoring after a new obedience? Does the world see that? Because if it does, there has to be a response. If there's no response, it's not saying something about the world. It's saying something about me. It's saying something about each one of us. If we're accepted by this world, let's be honest for a moment. Being accepted, isn't that something each one of us is looking for? I want to be accepted. I want to be loved. I want to be respected. I want to be comfortable in my life. But to be accepted by the world means to live in darkness and sin. We spend most of our lives, let's be honest, living for the wrong things. I know I do. The world's acceptance means that we are, in theory, rejecting Christ. And acceptance of Christ means that we will, in reality, be rejected by the world. The choice is yours. We as believers, we often live in that place where we have been drawn out of the world and we want to go diving headlong back. That we want to live that unrighteous life that used to be ours. My friends, we can either hate Christ and live for this world, or we can allow this world to perhaps, yes, hate us and live a righteous, drawn-out life for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I would come before you in confession, acknowledging, Lord, that so often my desire is to live with the world, to enjoy the things the world enjoys, to be accepted by the worldly around me. Father, so often my life and my words fail to reflect the righteousness of Christ. Father God, I am so thankful that you have given us your Son to pay the penalty for that sin. That you give us your Spirit who enables us more and more each day to die unto ourselves, to die to sin, to endeavor after a new obedience. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would move so powerfully within each one of us. Father, enable us to be faithful to your word in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. Father, your word also tells us that when we are so faithful, that there will be some that will see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. That will be the means, our faithfulness will be the means that you use to draw others to yourself. Father, I pray that you would enable each one of us to see that. But I pray as well that you would give us each the strength by your Spirit to stand up when we face being rejected, when we face being despised, yes, even hated for the sake of the gospel. Lord, we thank you that you count us as yours. In Jesus' name, amen.